right, good morning. Well, last week we were talking about work. We were talking about the work that God did in creation. And today we're going to continue on that theme of work. You see, my sermon title is Good Hard Work. And I was thinking of anybody ever get a top when they were little and just spin that top? Who got a top? Maybe Christmas stocking, something like that, yeah? What do you do when you get that top? Owen, what do? You spin it, right? And then what do you do after that? You watch it. And then what does everybody take turns doing? See who can spin it the fastest, right? See who can spin it harder and faster, right? Why do we want to see that? Why aren't we just content to just spin it a little bit and watch it for a few seconds? We're competitive by nature, that's true. We want to push things to their ultimate, right? We want to see things work to its greatest design. Matter of fact, we'd like to just get to that breaking point where we can even see, maybe even past, what it can tolerate. And I think God is not any different, right? God wants us to work to the fullest. There's a book called The Law. It's one of my favorite books. I got it in my study. It's written by Frederick Bastiat. It starts out this way. It says, "We hold from God the gift which includes all others. This gift is life, physical, intellectual, and moral life. But life cannot maintain itself alone. The Creator of life has entrusted us with the responsibility of preserving, developing, and perfecting it. In order that we may accomplish this, He has provided us with a collection of marvelous faculties, and He has put us in the midst of a variety of natural resources. By the application of our faculties to these natural resources, we convert them into products and use them. This process is necessary in order that life may run its appointed course. Life, faculties, production, in other words, individuality, liberty, property, this is man. And in spite of the cunning of artful political leaders, these three gifts from God precede all human legislation and are superior to it. Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it is the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place." And the book goes on to talk about law, the purpose of law, what is good law. But I want us to understand that God put us here. And we talked about this a little bit last week. God put us here for a purpose, and that purpose is to work, right? It's not to be broken. It's not to sit around and do nothing. And we also talked about this pattern of work and rest. Work and rest. How many days should we work? 3 days, right? 3 days of work, 4 days of rest. 6 days of work, a slave driver. 6 days of work, 1 day of rest. And I talked about last week, and I'm going to mention it again, don't throw tomatoes at me, please, but I think sometimes we can have rest become an idol in our life, right? The picture of the guy sitting at the beach, right? Oh, that's the ultimate, is to sit around and do nothing. If I could just get to that point in my life where I could just sit around and do nothing. That really is not what God created us to do or to be. As a matter of fact, sitting around and do nothing is the breeding ground for all kinds of contemptible activities. We talked a little bit last week about the difference between living in the city and living in the country. Oftentimes it's living in the country where you have to work hard. And that creates positive outcomes for life. So, we're going to talk about what God wants us to do, which is to work hard. Number one is effort. Effort is what you put in. There's a song from Zonti, which is one of the guys that me and Annabelle have seen several times, and he put out a song recently called Hard Work God First, I think is what it's called, Hard Work God First. Yep. And in that song, he says, the only thing that you can control is how you spend your time and how hard you work. Right? The effort that you put in is how you spend your time and how hard you work. Everybody has 24 hours in a day. I was listening to a video by Elon Musk. Well, I was actually interviewing Elon Musk, and they were talking about his takeover of Twitter. And one of the biggest things that he's done in Twitter is he's told everybody they got to work harder, right? Not 3 days a week, not 4 days a week. He expects his employees to work 80 hours a week. 80 hours a week. To 100 hours a week. But he asked this question to the interviewer. He says, if everybody else is working 40 hours a week, and you're working 100 hours a week, how much faster, how much more are you going to get accomplished in a year than everybody else? Proverbs 14:23 says, in all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. Work, effort, is important. In scientific understanding, effort is just energy, right? E equals mc squared. Energy, what you put in, right? The input, that is work. What's the saying that what's the easiest thing for something that's resting to do? Stay at rest, right? And if something's moving, what's the easiest thing for it to do? Just keep moving, right? And Carmen, did I get that right? Yeah, thank you. Okay. And energy is work, right? Even if you drop something, right? It is, it's moving, right? It's work. So, what we put in is effort. And it's important that we put in effort. Proverbs 10:4 says, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Right? We need to be diligent. We need to work hard. We need to teach our children to do the same. So, we need to make sure that we are spending our time wisely and working and using that time to work hard. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. You're only here for such a short time. And the reality is, you are going to make a difference. It can be a positive difference. It can be a negative difference. At the end of the year, right, we've produced a certain amount of goods, right? our country has a gross domestic product, right? And we draw in taxes off of that gross domestic product, off of the land. It's important to a nation that it be productive. America is one of the greatest nations in the history because it's the most productive nation in history. And so we need to work hard. Now, obviously, we can use technology, and we have used technology to greatly increase the amount of work that we can accomplish. But whatever we do, we ought to do it with our strength, with our might, with our focus, with our attention. Working hard is very important. The only way that you will get out of the hole that everyone else is in is to keep going when everyone else quits. We got to outwork everybody else. One of the greatest blessings that we still see in our culture, although it's also declining along with the rest of our cultural influence, is the Puritan work ethic. Right? In America, we have the influence of the Puritans. They set a lot of examples for us. They set up a lot of our culture. And one of that is our work ethic, that we work hard. That when you punch in at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or 7 o'clock, whenever you punch in, and when you punch out, right, you don't work half the time, you work the whole time. In other cultures, that's not what the average person does. They clock in, right, then they go get coffee. Then they go talk to their friends, right? We need to be people that work hard. So, number one is effort. Number two, produces. Right? Our effort needs to be geared to focus towards actually getting things done. Good intention does not pay the bills, right? I was going to go get a job, does not pay the bills. People call me, I'm the president of the Ministerial Association, and they call me, hey, can I get a voucher for this? How would that job interview go out that you were telling me you were going to do last month when you needed a voucher? Well, right? Insert excuse. We have to be productive people. Our efforts need to be productive. And we do that by being diligent, focused, energy. Proverbs 24 says, the lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. Right? We always have a good excuse for not getting the work done. It's too cold. It's too hot. It's raining. It's not raining. There's no rain. Right? When is a good time to do the work? There is no good time to do the work. And so we must go out and do the work even when it's not convenient, even when it's hard. We must be diligent. Proverbs 24, 30 through 34 says, I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all grown over with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. And when I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it, and I received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And so shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. How does an armed man come? Does he call and say, hey, when's a convenient time for you to come over? Right? For me to come over. Anybody remember those commercials? Right? Those Allstate commercials? What was that guy's name that would fall out of the tree? Havoc or something like that? What is it? Mayhem, yes, mayhem. When does mayhem come? When you least expect it, right? If you knew it was coming, you'd call your insurance agent and say, hey, I need to increase that insurance coverage. I need to make sure I got good quality insurance. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, your need like an armed man. We have to be not lazy. We have to be energetic, focused, productive people. So, effort produces. Number three. Oh, actually, not number three. B, don't quit. Don't quit. Be diligent. Don't quit. Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. This week, this morning, Randy was asking me about our vehicle. We haven't had our Suburban in our driveway for probably 3 weeks now. And he asked me, what happened? Did you sell it? No. We didn't sell it. But the good news is it didn't quit either. It was just in the shop for a while. We got it back. But how frustrating is that? I know Gaylord has been experiencing some trouble with the last couple vehicles, right? What do? They quit, right? How frustrating is that? You invest money, time, energy into a vehicle and clunk. Right? Don't be that guy. Don't be that person. Be diligent. Don't quit. Perseverance proves character. Perseverance proves character. Now we're going to skip down to number four. Fruit. Effort produces fruit. The fruit reveals who you are. Matthew 7:16, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. And he says, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Jesus was walking along. What did he see? He saw a fig bush? Fig tree, right? What did he expect to see? Grapes? Lemons? Squash? Figs, right? What kind of fruit are you producing? What kind of fruit is coming from your effort and activity? Now, I am talking about physical labor, but I'm also talking about other kinds of labor. Scripture says that we will know them after their kind, after what they produce. And he was talking to the Pharisees. Particularly, he was talking to false teachers. He said, you will know them by their fruit. But our effort produces fruit. And what kind of fruit are you producing? Not only does it tell us what kind of person we are, but we're going to be evaluated by the fruit of our life. Matthew 12:33 says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. And similarly, in Proverbs 20:11, it says, even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. A while back, somebody had posted on Twitter, no, they wrote an article about how their divorce have made them a better person. And then a little bit later, they wrote an article about how depressed they were. And somebody had took those two together, the headlines, and this kind of added a little bit of the rest of the story, which was that she had had an affair and gotten divorced, and then was bragging about how that made her a better person, and then was talking about how nobody wanted to be around her and she was depressed. And I put in the comment, I said, yeah, I said, she feels bad because she should feel bad, right? The fruit of our life is the fruit of the flesh, it causes all kinds of horrible things. It is bad. And that reveals who we are, right? That's how we're to evaluate people. God says we can't judge each other's heart. As best you can tell, you know, we do say this phrase, oh, he's a good guy, right? But we don't know if he's a good guy. All we can do is look at the fruit of his life, and the fruit tells you what kind of person they are. And if they produce good fruit, then we say, yeah, that person is doing good. Even a child is known by his deeds. We do the same for adults. We do the same for children. We look at what they do, their actions, their activity. What does it produce? Proverbs 16:2 says, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. You know, I tell you what, a lot of people have come to me as a pastor, and most of them will tell you, I'm doing the right thing. It's the other person that has all the problems, right? Or they'll say, you know what, I have made some mistakes, but not nearly the amount of mistakes that my spouse has made. Right? Because we all justify our own experience. We all justify our own effort, our own work. But God is the one who actually is the evaluator. He's the one that matters. I want to read this out of 2 Chronicles chapter 15. It says, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. I just love that phrase. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. And in those times there was no peace to the one who went out nor the one who came in, but great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the lands. And so nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you, be strong, and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. One of my favorite quotes from Thomas Jefferson. Yesterday I was over at Sioux Falls, and I got to dress up as Thomas Jefferson, and I was handing out sheets. Don't sign the petition. Decline to sign. And there was a person there collecting signatures to get abortion on the ballot. And so we were there passing out the... But the games, there was two high school games, and it was like between Roosevelt and Lincoln and Washington and Jefferson. And so they call them the President's Games. And so I dressed up in a costume of Thomas Jefferson, and I had these flyers, declined to sign. And I was walking around saying, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. One of my favorite quotes from Thomas Jefferson, though, is, "Do you want to know who you are? Act. Your actions will delineate and define you." Do you want to know who you are? Act. Whatever you put effort and energy into, that is who you are. Number three. Good. Effort produces good fruit. It is important that we don't put our efforts and our energy into producing things that have no value. We need to make sure that our work is producing good, honorable fruit. Proverbs 22:29 says, "Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men." When we pour ourselves into work, our work, and we excel in it, we are honored in what we do. Proverbs 28:19 says, "He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows frivolity will have poverty enough." We need to make sure that our work is on things that are going to actually bring about good. Proverbs 20:13 says, "Do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you will be satisfied with bread." We need to make sure that our effort and our energy is spent on things that are actually going to have a worthwhile outcome. And the other thing that we need to make sure that we're doing is we need to make sure that we are putting God first. Ephesians 6:5-9 says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as man-pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters, do the same things to them. Give up threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him." Sometimes we kind of skip over those verses because we don't have slavery today, right? Nobody works for anybody else around here, right? A bondservant was somebody who traded their labor for work, for energy, for effort. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. When we go out and do our work, our mentality should be, I'm not here to serve my boss, I'm here to serve the Lord. Everything that I do, I'm doing it for God. And whatever good anybody does, it's God who is going to give us the fruit. James chapter 4 says, verse 13 through 17, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. You do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is a vapor that appears a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now your boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." And we can all wrap that up with Colossians 3:23, which is, "Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." It is very important that our work is done to honor God. And when we honor God with our life, He in turn will honor us. Does anybody know who won the 400-meter dash in the last Olympics? No? I don't either. Does anybody know who Eric Liddell is? Got a few. Does anybody know the movie Chariots of Fire? Does that ring a bell? Yeah. We know him. He stands out amongst all the people who have won that award. Why? Because he chose to put God first. He decided that because the race that he was going to the Olympics to run was held on a Sunday, and Sunday was very important to him to take that day off, he was not going to run his race, which he was favored to win. And instead, he ran a different race, and he won a gold medal in the 400 meter. I think it's really important that we have that same mindset, that we are to go out and work hard, excel, do great things, and do them for God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the life that you've given to us. I thank you for the work that you've given us to do. Ephesians 2:10 says that you have prepared good works for us to accomplish. Lord, most of us spend a majority of our time working to provide for our families. And that is a good thing. It's a good thing to work hard. It's a good thing to provide. It's a good thing to produce. As a matter of fact, Lord, you have said that is what we're going to be judged by, the fruit that we produce. But Lord, in our working, let it be for your good. Let it be in an honorable way. Lord, not just at work, but at home. We're also producing. We're also leaving behind an example. Are we producing good fruit at home? Is the conversation that's coming out of our mouth, is it good fruit? Lord, in all things, let us work to do the works of God. Let us follow your example. Lord, let us do good, hard work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.